Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. Welcome to Ujiria Radio. This is Mary Jo Bowser. We are in the Business Radio X studios today, and it is a relatively nice winter day in Atlanta, Georgia, the 26th of January, brand new year. Good morning, everybody. Hey, Lee.
Good morning, Mary Jo. You brought a special guest.
I did.
Not just your guest, but somebody
else. But my boss. Hey, Sam.
For that, we have two special guests, Lee.
That's right.
Right?
Look at that.
There you go.
You're always the diplomat.
Hey, Sam.
I'm learning. It's taken me six decades to figure out it. Sweet things get you more than sour.
That's Sam.
That's the first lesson of the show.
That's the boss. He hadn't been here for a while because he's been doing special ops. Daily ops at Griswold Home Care. But my other guest is Allison O'Neill, the owner of Senior Select Seal, which is kind of like the Good Housekeeping Seal. Now, Allison's going to tell you more about that. But what really piqued my interest and sealed the deal for me inviting Allison onto the show is she has won a really neat award that I'm going to let her tell you about. But before that, Allison, please tell us a little bit about your background, where you were born or where you went to school, or at least how you landed in this senior industry of ours.
Wow. Well, that could take a few minutes, more than
That's
we
okay.
have.
Oh, no, we
no,
got a
I'm
while.
Kidding. I'm no. kidding. The actually, I was born in Dundee, Scotland. And
That's cool.
Yeah. And immigrated to the United States when I was an infant. My mother is from there and my father from here. But as a young girl, we lived in New York State and moved to New York, to Florida, the retirement capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida at the time. And we actually lived in a small town called Bel Air Beach, where my best friends were all 70 and older. So that's my first step into understanding the life of the senior adult. Really wasn't thinking of seniors as old people, but it was about thinking them as my friends. So I'm really, really blessed to have had a lifelong opportunity to have close relationships with older adults. And my true passion, I started when I was 19, brought me into medicine and therapy, and I developed a field called dermatologic rehabilitation at Emory University. And my specialty was the psychology of appearance, not just in how your hair, skin, and nails look, but also how you feel about the way you look in total, the things you can do. And certainly with aging, what happens with appearance, not only do we see lines and wrinkles, and those are sometimes depressing, but it's when we lose the capability that really represents who we are as a human being. And it's not about our vanity, it's about identity. So I had a very, very successful career in working with patients who had lost their appearance to trauma, chronic illness, congenital deformities. And of course, in the last 20 years, the influence on anti-aging has been so massive, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Whoa. Absolutely.
And, you know, I like to think I'm 37, but I'm not really.
Yeah.
But anyway, I used to get away with that, but it's not so much.
I like what you just said about it's not about our vanity. It's about our identity.
It is exactly what it's
yeah.
about.
Mm-hmm. And also, I just have to, I'll jump in right here and say, I think it's so cool that you had your, that you called the senior adults in St. Pete, Florida, your friend. Also, I lived in St. Pete. I did a stint in St. Pete. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My first job was with the St. Pete Times. But Sam and I have found doing this radio show that a lot of our best referral partners and resources and people in the senior industry have had experiences from childhood. Either mm-hmm. they were friends with seniors, like you said, or they went to deliver Meals on Wheels with grandma or something. So that's really cool.
How about that?
Yeah.
I remember walking along the beach. We lived on the beach, so it was such a nice thing. And I'd come home from school. And for me, I was like a heavy little girl and I didn't have a real strong sense of self-esteem. And to go to the beach and to be able to walk along, you know, with somebody who really lifted my spirits and helped me understand who I was as a person and the value that I really carried, that was so impactful.
Gosh.
So, but I never dreamed that I'd actually work specifically with the senior industry. When I was 39, my father was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and he was given only a few days to live. And he said, well, what do we need to do? And they said, well, we could do this orchiectomy procedure, which he said, well, I'm 79 years old. I don't need my orchids anymore. So that orchiectomy removes your testicles. And he was able to.
I don't need my
orchids.
Sorry,
we call them the orchids.
Did you get that, Sam?
Well, yes.
We fondly refer to them and sensitively for your sake, Sam. Orchids.
I mean,
so
if we would have said gonads, then maybe that would have been better.
Sam.
Well, girls like to like feminize.
I understand.
So at any rate, he was actually received this procedure and lived another 4 years.
Oh, wow.
We were told he had 24 hours to live the first time they walked in the room. And
oh
then
my
he lived.
Goodness.
We were told that 6 times over the course of his diminishing health. So it really proved to us that nobody but God really knows when that time is. And we really became closer and closer to understanding what life is. And, you know, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who, you know, spearheaded the whole hospice movement, I met her in my 20s, fortunately. She actually died the same week as my father did. 2 days before my father died, she died. But my father was in hospice care for 9 months, and I really had the opportunity spending the time with he and my mother for that period, understanding what it is like to be with somebody who is both ill and going through this final stage in life. You know, and for me, it was a fearful thing initially until I actually had this opportunity. And I think most people who have this opportunity understand it as an opportunity, and that you learn more about your own life and living and what the valuable things are in life when you get this as an opportunity. And the Chinese say crisis equals opportunity. And there is no doubt in my mind that I've witnessed that over and over again in my career, and I approach life like that. But my father, every day, would wake up, and the cancer he had metastasized to his bones and brain. But he was perfectly comfortable. Fortunately, we had meds that kept him comfortable. We were at home hospice care out in the middle of rural South Carolina. And every day my father woke up and he'd say, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I'm going to feel better tomorrow. And he would do his thumbs up, both thumbs up. And he was brilliant. People actually came to visit him. You know this from your caregiving at Griswold. People don't always like to come visit people who are ill.
I know. It's scary.
It's scary for them. But what people find when they do visit, and I encourage people to visit because it's such an important part of the well-being of the person who may be ill, but more importantly, the person that is well.
You're right. You're right. You give a gift and the giver usually gets the gift.
But that's
the secret.
I don't
know why it's so hard. I guess because we're just selfish.
It's fear. I talk a lot about fear with people. There's only 2 things we work with in our lives, and it's love and fear. And that's been proven time and time again. I love A Return to Love is a book by Marianne Williamson. And that's what she talks about. And it's based on the premise of a greater body of work. But that's what it boils down to, essentially, is that there are only 2 things. And fear, we either are caught in thinking about tomorrow and what's it going to be, which is very fearful because none of us know. And we're comparing it to what's happened in our past versus being safe in our present state. You and I are safe right now in the seats we're in. We have everything we need. We are warm from the cold outside. We have something to drink in front of us. We're comfortable in the chair. If you are where you are comfortable right now, that's the only minute that matters.
Yeah. Have you heard the acronym for fear, the false evidence appearing real?
I have.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if people could embrace that, their day would be better. Start off your day with, I am healthy, I am fit, I am strong. And you can face anything when you consider, when you continually say, I am something positive. But most of us are trained to say something like, I am not good enough, I am too fat, I am too old, whatever. No, you're not. I mean, so in the evolution of what I've created with my businesses, my father, I love to tell this story. We were 6 weeks before he died. We were sitting on the porch, and he loved gardening. And at this point, his health had diminished to where he was in a wheelchair, and he really wasn't having any conversations that made sense anymore. We heard a little bit about World War II more than we ever had, because he was at Utah Beach and he was a veteran. Not a lot, because he didn't like to remember bad things. That's another thing that people don't understand. If you keep thinking about the things that have happened that weren't so positive in your life, you're going to bring back those emotions and those feelings the way it happened at that moment. So think about positive stuff, because it's much better for your health and overall. But the day that he and I were on the porch, it was a really hot July day, and he was digging in some flowers, and I was with him, as we commonly are when we're caregiving for someone, just quietly there. And I was fixing a bird feeder at the other end of the porch, and about 30 minutes went by, and suddenly he called my name. My nickname is Allie, and he said, Allie. And I went over to him, and he was continuing to dig in his flower and had his back to me. And I said, Dad, what can I do? How can I help you? And remember, I said, we've been told 6 times that he had 24 hours to live. So every moment we had with him was focused on how can we make him comfortable? Nothing more than that. So he kept digging in his plant, and I kept waiting, and he kept digging, and I kept waiting, and I stood there for a while, and he finally turned around and looked at me, and all he said was, beauty becomes you. And he turned back around, he went to his plant, and I held my heart, and I knew this was the trust that I was being left from my father.
Which is the name of her nonprofit.
Correct.
Beauty becomes you.
It later...
How sweet.
It was... I knew what it meant. You know what that means?
No.
Beauty becomes you. I had worked with people my whole life, remember, on their losing their appearance. Burns, accident victims, people with chronic disease like lupus and scleroderma and other conditions that are disfiguring. And my whole career in counseling had been to work with them to help them understand maybe they wouldn't look like everyone else, but what they did with their life would make them beautiful. Beauty becomes you. Means exactly that. And I had never heard those words.
Beauty becomes you. Oh my gosh.
Exactly.
Wow. That's almost like a play on words, because What's the other? Beauty becomes you means something else too, doesn't it? Like it become, beauty becomes you. Do you know what I'm saying? Help me out here, Allie.
Well,
I have no beauty idea where you're going with that.
Beauty is a way of being. You know, aesthete or aesthetics is a French term, and it's a philosophy about beauty. And it's really more about, it's more about a being. And beauty becomes you is you want to be a beautiful person. People know that kind of reference. And you want people to think good things of you. Well, what comes to mind when you think of good? Something beautiful.
Right. I was just thinking, though, you know, something becomes you means it like adds to you, mm-hmm. or it's a.
It looks good on you.
Yeah, it looks good on you. But the literal meaning of become.
Yes.
Is.
You become. That.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is really cool. And yeah. I love that story.
Well, it was a very powerful moment, obviously. And, you know, the story of the charity, I did not immediately think, oh, this is a charity, because I've gone through such terrible time, you know, because I didn't have a terrible time, first of all, with my father. I honored every single moment of every single day and really embraced what I was learning personally, because, inevitably we knew what would happen.
Right.
It wasn't sad. It was to live in the happiness of the moment. And my father helped with that with his brilliant attitude. And my mother, too, who is also very much like him and 10 years younger and 85 now and with her second boyfriend, but we don't need to talk about that.
Okay, we got a lot of ground to cover, but I want you to tell them briefly about the company, Senior Select Seal, and then more about your nonprofit.
Absolutely. I do have to say, with the charity, which is what inspired the SEAL.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. When I started the charity, my father died in 2004. Later that year, I was interviewing in New York with one of the lead executives at Estee Lauder, who started the gift with purchase company concept. You know, when you go to a department store and you get a gift when you buy a product. Anyway, he did that in 1967, and I was 7 years old then. Don't do the math. I was lost in a department store in Florida, and the Estee Lauder woman actually saved me, and she kept me behind the counter with her while we waited for my mom about 2 days. No, I'm kidding. And she gave me the first gift with purchase that I kept, and it was this package of, it was beautiful, Estee Lauder blue packaging. Those Estee Lauder lovers out there know what I'm talking about. And in this pouch were a Youth Dew powder, a Youth Dew lotion, and a Youth Dew perfume. Well, I kept that for 37 years.
Wow.
I had, by the time this was all going on, had given this up. I'd kind of been in the industry with my career. I was also on the cosmetology board for Georgia for 11 years and examined over 50,000 cosmetologists. I had developed a program called Look Good, Feel Better for the American Cancer Society that's now served over 4 million, 5 million people. It touches millions of lives every year. And I've just done a lot of things with different companies, product development, et cetera, but really still searching. And when I was a little girl, I just knew my life was about helping millions of people, and I didn't know ever how I would do it. And so Beauty Becomes You, when I went to meet with this man, he said, you don't belong in industry. You've done too many good things for people. He said, Beauty Becomes You is not the name of a book, which I thought I would name my book then, and I still will in the future. But he said, that's the name of a charity. And when someone that's the guru in marketing in the cosmetic industry tells you that, you walk out on the street, this is what you do, and you almost get hit by a cab because your life has just changed. And so I went there to have a job that I would be paid for. I mean, through my career, I really gave more services away than I made money doing. And I thought, this is my chance. I have all this background, and I understand a lot of different things in the medical, cosmetic, and psychological arenas. Lots of experience, lots of training. I actually am one of the pioneers in medical aesthetics that you see in medical offices. And so at any rate, I wander out on the street and call a girlfriend and say, how do you start a charity? That's what I'm supposed to do.
Wow.
And we didn't know how to do that. I was interviewed the next spring by, I was actually invited to a dinner. A friend of mine was working with the AARP, and the vice president of philanthropy for the AARP Foundation was in town. And I had gone back to my clinic and seeing patients at that point. So I have dinner with them, and this woman says, do you have a book? And I said, no, I don't have a book. I have a little start of a book because I've been working on it for 10 years. But he told me, it's not a book, it's a charity. She goes, well, you need a book by June, because I want you to come to June. I want you to be in Washington, D.C., and I want you on this panel of authors. So I was in Washington. My girlfriend, I call her again, how do we do a book? And she said, well, we can do this. She's with Communicorp, with Aflac, you know, subsidiary.
Did you do a book?
We did a little journal.
Oh, okay.
Called The Gifts of Grace.
Okay.
And so we used what
it's
I had
book.
Written. Yeah. From my book, my book's title, which eventually will come out one day, From Glamour to Grace, Beauty Becomes You. And so now that makes sense. The word grace is one of my favorite words, and that's what it means. It doesn't matter how old you are. From glamour to grace, beauty becomes you can happen at any time in your life. But at any rate, so that's my little story. And I went to D.C., but that did not trigger my interest in seniors. 3 weeks later, when I came back, I was invited to, ironically, the Senior Citizen Services of Metropolitan Atlanta 40th anniversary for Meals on Wheels. I was touring the center, and everything was lit up bright as day. I got separated from my group I was with. So I saw the Alzheimer's Day Center, and I saw the place where the computer training classes and the gardening and the painting and all these things go on. I got separated from my group, and as I was coming back, there was one place in the dark, no larger than the size of a small dining room table. But in this location that was in the dark, there were two old shampoo bowls and two old shampoo chairs and a manicure pedicure stand. And I knew I needed to turn the light on. I got the manager and I said, how come everything else is lit up bright as day and this is in the dark? And she said, it's very sad. This is the favorite place for our members, but we can't keep it staffed and we can't afford the products. And that's where Beauty Becomes You's mission was born. And I did not know the demographic we were about to step into until they told me that it was the fastest and largest growing. This was in 2005. And since 2005, we've served now over 5,000 seniors, over 15,000 services. And what we do is we provide the aesthetic health services for men and women. So they are touched, and we prevent failure to thrive syndrome through touching them by doing hair, nails, massage, skincare, makeup. And it's an amazing program. But we didn't have any funding. So this is where, well, now I'll answer your question about my companies. Senior Select Seal was born to help fund Beauty Becomes You.
Okay.
We did not have any funding. As many people in the aging industry know, there really hasn't been a lot of funding over the last 15 years. It's starting to change a little bit, but then it falls back and goes forward. So I decided to start the SEAL. And we started it under the auspices of the charity. But because we also can certify providers in senior care, and specifically developed a program in geriatric aesthetics to train people who are in the aesthetic field to, or cosmetology field, and personal care grooming, to understand the conditions of aging. They know how to recognize those. They know how to respond appropriately at their level of proficiency. And they know who to refer to if they recognize something or the person shares something. And in our case, most people who are having their hair cut or their nails done share things or their skin that are being touched in this kind manner. I mean, all of us have hairdressers and we tell personal things too. So this is not a secret in the world of hairdressing or in cosmetology. They are the behind the chair pseudo, PhDs.
Yeah, the pseudo counselors or the pseudo psychologists.
Right. You know, it's funny in that industry, PhD, professional hairdresser.
Oh, get gosh. It? I do get it.
But this is where, you know, my knowledge that I had, I knew we could apply. Working in my field of rehabilitation all these years, I know the impact that being able to touch someone in crisis has. But one of the most important things we've been told by family members that we've served is that my mom doesn't remember our names, but she remembers that her hair appointment is at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much impact this particular personal grooming and care is. Again, it is not about vanity. It is about our identity and who we believe we are and how we want to present ourselves to the world. So we created the SEAL.
And how does that work? Do you pay? Do you, well, how does that work? Do you vet people? How do you do that?
Well, a few years ago, we needed a trading, we needed a testing center. I'll tell you another fun story. I mean, God has led me on this journey, and I have so many great stories to share with relationship to just keep believing. I love to talk to audiences because we all lose faith. We all lose the capability of really continuing to make that next right step. So in this case, with the SEAL, one story I'll share, we needed a testing, an independent testing center. I always have wonderful advisors around me who are willing to volunteer and be there. And we've really had very little money ever to work on. We're in investors stage right now, which is a whole new world for me, but it's great. A couple of years ago, friends of mine invited me to a fundraiser for Foster Care of Atlanta, and they are on the board. And so we were wandering around looking at the items, and in the live auction, there was an item that was valued at $8,000. That item, I said, I have $2,000 left on my credit card because I'd put $30,000 on my credit card supporting Beauty Becomes You. And I said, I don't care. I have $2,000 left. I'm bidding on this. So they said, no, we'll bid on it. So we all bid on it. We got it for $2,000. And the item was an incredible thing. Dinner for eight with the president of Georgia Tech, Bug Peterson, and his wife. And he made dinner for all of us. There were no servers. There were no security. It was just like we were all best friends. And Bud, somebody told me, sorry, Bud, if you're listening, but if you want to get something, if you have to talk to somebody of importance, sit to their left. This is an interesting thing.
I never heard that.
Another tip I can give you. But sit to your left and ask them. So I sat at the end of the table next to Bud on his left.
Huh.
And I told him what we'd been doing. And the next day, he connected me with the Georgia Tech Research Institute head. And we have been independent testing partners with them since then.
That is way cool.
Yeah. We
hadn't. Talk about had, divine guidance.
It has been on and on and on. You have no idea. I just stay open to and say thank you every day. Thank
you. And if you could see Allison right now, she got real glassy eyes. but you can't hear it in her voice. Solid as rock.
Oh, well, I'm happy to cry in front of anybody, but it's quite a story. And then we hadn't had a registration, you know, for the mark. When you go through trademarking, there's lots of stuff you have to go through to get a trademark. So they actually offered to test our first product, which was an OXO Good Grips can opener that closes on the can, and it's an easy grip. We tested that. But now, we needed to move to the next stage. So last year, we started going to the Atlanta Gift Mart and talking to other companies. And GTRI charges $5,000 to $15,000 a product to test. So smaller companies.
What's GTRI?
Georgia Tech Research Institute.
Okay.
Which we're really proud to be partners of. But many small companies whose products we wanted to test could not fathom that. So we created an internal testing component. And we now have seniors who test our products who are, well, currently we have 82 to 94 year olds, and we have about 30 people that fluctuate in from Park Springs, which is a senior community in Stone Mountain. And we've tested Joseph products, which is a kitchen company, Govino, CareZips, which is a product, which is amazing. CareZips?
Yeah, she's been on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, mm-hmm. I love her. And that
Molly.
Molly, that's right. And also Senny Incontinence Brand. Those are incredible briefs for seniors. Mm-hmm. So we did that, but we needed to also offer them and have a way to market the seal. So we started, and we're just getting ready to launch a very unique concept for the caregiving industry. And one of the things that concerns me most is, and we faced it as our family too, the cost of caregiving. And you guys know this is a big issue. And so we wanted to figure out how can we help that as well. So this is how to use the consumer spend in a different way. We have created, which we're about to launch, Senior Select Solutions. And we partnered with a technologies company that has the capability of allowing us to have thousands of e-stores. So we are about to introduce
thousands of what?
E-stores.
Oh, okay,
so
e-stores.
Here's the scenario. You know, when a caregiver is with a family member and they say, oh, she needs, your mom needs Depends. She has to write the note or however you get the messaging across. Your mom needs Depends. Your mom needs Ensure. Your mom needs Boost. Your mom needs a new walker. Your mom needs whatever it is. Generally, that person has to send a note to the family member. The family member then has to drop what they're doing with their kids or leave their kids at practice, go to the Walmart or DME store or wherever they're going, buy the product, get it back to their parent. And then if they live across country, they have to go through the same thing. It's a big deal. And we know from our research that we're over 43 million caregivers in this country that are majority women, mid-40s, that are giving up their jobs to take care of a parent at home because they can't afford the service. What this does is it allows us to now give the caregiving company the opportunity to be the store so you can use that margin of consumer spend to pay caregivers better and to increase the number or to however you want to use it. But we can put it in an escrow account that could go to helping people afford caregiving, or you can have it directed to a charity of your choice. It doesn't matter to us. But the point is, instead of it having to go somewhere else, it now comes in and it helps people afford caregiving that they desperately need and want. And people can live their lives a little more.
Are you following this, Sam? Because she just kind of lost me on that last point. So what is it that goes to
When someone has an e-store,
okay.
There's a margin on the product. Let's say it's a regular store and you have to keep the product on the shelf, right? Mm-hmm, so that's a cost in relationship to that product right there, that the company has to buy the product. You have it on the shelf. If the product changed a model or something like that, you then have to maybe even lose out on that. I've experienced this in my own practice where a cosmetic product, goes out of date because we didn't sell it fast enough or something like that. Mm-hmm. In this case, nobody has to have any product that they've held or warehoused is what we call it. And we have direct communication with the vendors. They don't have to do anything other than make the recommendation they normally would make. In fact, because our technology manages the entire process from the ordering so that a caregiver doesn't have to be responsible for the person's credit card the person gets an email that says, here are the products that, for instance, if it's the adult child, here are the products that your mom needs or your dad needs or whoever needs. And then you can decide as the adult child, okay, I want that product, that product, that product. I don't know about this product. That seems kind of fishy to me. Let me double check on where, why they would need that. So then again, and currently what happens in a lot of cases, that independent people are caregiving, there's a great risk for people to mismanage the people's funds. We know elder care fraud exists, but this way is another way, I'm sure, that we can actually help people prevent that, because nobody has access to that except the family. The caregiving company can give this as an opportunity to the family members. We have this service available. If you'd like, we can add it too. And this is how it's managed. And it's all secure. It's all safe. We work with Western Union. We have a securities company that we work with. It's huge. The company that we partner with is an $11 million technologies company that have been working on this for 15 years. So there's no doubt what we're doing matters in this arena, because what are we going to do if people want $15 an hour and you're charging $17 to $27 an hour for that service? It's going to be difficult. So we already know from tracking what's going on in the West Coast that they've changed that minimum wage, that companies are going out of business because of that.
So we're going to have you on again, because we're almost out of time.
Oh,
but
gosh,
I don't know if I ought to. I want you to at least tell about the award.
Oh, thanks for that. Yeah, I'm so proud. I am so proud of this. This is like another miracle. But last year, I was nominated for apparently the third time. And every year prior to that, someone had nominated me for this L'Oréal Paris Woman of Worth Award, which they identify 10 women a year. So the first 2 years, I got emails back saying, congratulations on your nomination, basically have a nice life. And then this year, in August, I got an email that said, congratulations, you're in the top 30. And I have to tell you, the woman that nominated me originally, I've known her since I started the charity. Her mother had just died, and she came and met me personally, and then she moved to Las Vegas. She's in her 70s, and she's just always been such a strong ally for Beauty Becomes You and our mission, and has, for particularly me, it's not easy being a charity founder by any means. There's a lot of work that goes into it, a lot of risks that you take, a lot of everything, not just financially, but personally and physically. And you're lugging products around and keeping them in your own home. Or, you know, when I went to New York and we had the Harlem Project, that was I love the stories with that. But at any rate, when I got the call, it was, this is so cool. My father died August 27th, 2004. At August 27th of 2015, which is last summer, I was in my office, home office. I was just in tears thinking, how am I going to make all this work? And I got a phone call and it said, this is a conference call coming to you from L'Oréal Paris and Points of Light. We want to tell you, you are in the top 10 and you've won $10,000 for the L'Oréal Paris Women of Worth Award. Congratulations. And it was such an amazing moment. And I couldn't breathe. I live on the 16th floor of a condominium, and I had 10-foot ceilings and big windows. And I went out, and all the beautiful L'Oréal Paris representatives were there, and we received our award. And now they're working with us diligently. And Bloomberg is part of this. So it's pretty huge. And I'm just so delighted to be able to thank you for asking that and making that a point that we could cover here today. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm so proud of you. And thank I really you. Meant it. We are going to have you come back, right?
Because unfortunately, there was one thing I'd like for you to do for me.
You bet.
And I understand, but bridge over from what you do on the Beauty Becomes You, and you were talking about in the facility and the chairs, and how that translates into how you help seniors in that way.
In Beauty Becomes You, our mission is to prevent failure to thrive syndrome. Failure to thrive syndrome.
It's what babies have, right?
That's exactly right. It was identified in 1962 in premature infants, which is why you see the babies in incubators and with the hand. And you can see where, you know, you can put your hands in the incubator, the holes, and they want people to pet the babies. They recognized then the importance of touch. Well, what happens today is, although we have premature infants, they are not suffering as much from failure to thrive syndrome because of this intervention. But
older
seniors,
folks, oh my gosh,
and
I can imagine.
It is identified too late, in
they're
my opinion.
They're not quite as cute, usually.
They're not quite as cute. Family members don't live close by. They've lost their spouses. There's a tremendous amount of isolation, as we know, from not just not having people around you, but when hearing loss occurs, oh my gosh, if there are two missions I'm on, it's one, we got to figure out something to do about hearing and hearing loss, because that causes greater isolation than any other problem. And Alzheimer's, of course, and all the other conditions are certainly critical in importance. But when someone loses their ability to hear, it is almost worse than losing your vision, because you are totally out of the conversation. If you can't answer a question properly, it begins to play on your sense of self-worth that I'm not good enough. So this whole idea of failure to thrive syndrome, it starts far before it's diagnosed in nursing homes.
So your idea is, back to Sam's question, to get volunteers or something, or estheticians, or hair people, or whatever?
All professional hairdressers, all professionals in the cosmetology and massage industry, and also students. We introduce them to it early, and then
you take them to the
facilities?
We
go into communities. Community. Generally, it's independent living, because we're trying to catch this before it becomes. But because obviously graduating communities where there are assisted living and nursing, they will bring people to wherever we are at the common location where we set up. And we serve anywhere from 25 to 350 people in a day.
Oh my.
So it's a huge undertaking.
Okay. So how do they get in touch with you, Allison?
They can contact me through beautybecomesyou.org, the website, or seniorselectseal.com. I never mind people having my personal contact information. So my cell number is 404-386-6118.
404-386-6118. And Beauty Becomes You...
beautybecomesyou.org.
.org. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I'm going to let Sam wrap this up.
Allison, this is great information. I've got about 8 different ideas rolling around in my head we need to probably talk about. But I certainly appreciate you being here. As Mary Jo was saying, time is short, and we would love to invite you back.
Thank you.
And maybe take one aspect and really, really develop it. Come back a third time and develop even another.
Thank you.
Thank you for being our guest.
I am so grateful to be here. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for inviting me.
That's the show for today. Once again, we thank Allison for being our guest, and we want to remind everyone that they can always pull up and hear, listen to broadcasts in the past at eugeriaradio.com. And as we always do, we want to close and say that if the youth of this nation is its greatest natural resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you, and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.